Have you ever felt like just going on strike, just not turning up to work? Personal protest, perhaps? Stopping all housework for a week at home as an experiment to see who does it if you don't? So imagine this. What if the nation's women, all ages, all over the country, all political persuasions, decided to stage such a protest? Take a day off from all paid work, all housework, all childcare. 40 years ago, 90% of Iceland's female population apparently did just that. They came together in solidarity over the issue of pay inequity and uncompensated work by women, and they took the day off. Schools and airports and hospitals were forced to close. The entire country shut down, it seems. And joining me on the line just a little earlier, Gerda Steinstadtter, she was one of the key organisers of the day. They call it now Long Friday. It's the 40th anniversary celebrations this year. And I welcomed Gerda to the program.
Thank you very much.
Well, it was a very interesting event. Take us back to 1975. What was the trigger for this event?
You know, it was the United Nations International Women's Year, 1975. They put forward this idea that all women in Iceland should take a day off on the United Nations Day, the 24th of October.
Incredibly, many, many, many thousands of Icelandic women took that day off, and it was decided that it would be a day off work rather than a strike. Why?
Yes, we knew that many women did not want to go on strike. So we tried to get as many women to take part. That was the main aim, to get all women in Iceland to unite, to show the importance of their work. Some women always talked about strike, but we used Women's Day off. It was illegal to go on strike, but it was not illegal to take a day off.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
So how did men respond to this idea before the day?
They did not approve of it. They tried to ridicule it, you know. But in the end, they just agreed that it was okay. This was one day off. You know, the women, they walked out of their homes and they just had to take care of the children, take them to work or stay at home.
Where was your life at? Because you were one of the organisers of this day. You were a very, very young woman. You had a young child.
Two? Yeah. I was active in politics at that time, and I was very much interested in women's issues. I was one of the, we were eight women that wrote that motion in June meeting, and I was always in the executive committee, the main committee, only 10 women were there, and I was leading one of the active groups. There were five groups we were working in, so I was leading one of the groups.
So eight women decide to orchestrate, to organise this day off, and something like 25,000 women across the nation took the day off, took to the streets. Can you describe why so many women took up this cause across all areas of Icelandic life, all political persuasions?
Yes, yes. I think the idea came originally from the Women's Lib movement in 1970, but it was not enough to have, you know, a one group to decide something. But those eight women that, you know, took this decision, this was a conference, but eight women put it forward. And it was decided at this June conference. They were from all the political parties. They were from trade unions. So, you know, they were very broad. And we made a letter. It's called Why a Day Off for Women. And it appealed to all women, to housewives, to farmers' wives, to women in trade and commerce and so on. And it was to demonstrate to ourselves and to others the importance of our role in society by stopping work on October 24th. And we did this under this theme or motto of the United Nations Women's Year, equality, development and peace.
And this was very much about pay equity. Hmm? This was about equal pay for equal work.
Yes, yes. And we could prove that we were all the women's contribution was underestimated in society. It was clear.
So,
for example, just in politics, it was at that time, 1975, there were only 3 women in parliament, 57 men. So you can see, you know, in political life, it was very unequal.
Mm. So what happened on that day? Describe the feeling and also what happened to all the kids.
That day, you know, the women, they walked out of home and they didn't go to work. The housewives, they went out too. So the men just had to take care of the children. And they decided what they did. Did they go to work or not? But there was a meeting in the center of Reykjavik. It was the biggest meeting. And I think it was the greatest demonstration in Iceland, you know, that had been held in Iceland.
It must have been very exciting.
Yes, it was a great success. And the meeting lasted for 2 hours, from 2 to 4, and there was program. It was, you know, singing and speeches, and it was all about freedom and, you know. And the atmosphere was great. And we had organized the open houses after the meeting, so women could go there and talk, and there were artists going between those open houses, so it was great. For example, one woman said, "Now I know that God is a woman." and another one said, "This is the greatest event since Njáls saga was written."
So what happened, though, to all the institutions, the childcare centres, the schools? What happened on that
day? They were just closed. I mean, the primary schools and the nurseries, they were just closed because women are working there. So the society came to stand still in many respects.
Joining us this morning is Gerda Steinsdottir. She was an organiser of a day 40 years ago where a great proportion of Iceland's female population decided to take the day off to protest pay inequity. And as Gerda is describing, the country came to a standstill. They are celebrating the 40th anniversary of that day. Did it have an impact in the years afterwards? Did it change the situation for women politically and economically in Iceland?
I think we thought, who organized this, it would go fast, but it did not. The changes came gradually. But I will point one thing. In 1980, 5 years later, a woman was elected president in Iceland, and she was the first lady who was elected in the world by a democracy.
And this was Vigdis Finnbogadottir. Yeah, I can never say her name.
Yes, Vigdis Finnbogadottir, yes.
She stayed in power for many decades.
16 years.
Yes, 16 years.
And we got the law, you know, about equality the year after, but the changes came slowly, can we say.
Do you have pay equity today? I mean, Iceland is held up as an example of a very equal society where women's economic situation is much more equal to men.
Yes, but it's not equal. The payment is not equal. No, it is not.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's because of, you know, women are women are the second sex in a way.
Gerda, how is the Long Friday being celebrated, commemorated in Iceland this year, 40 years on?
We have celebrated it three times since 1975, but this year it is we celebrate that it is 100 years since women got the right to vote for parliament. So we are celebrating that this year.
Well, congratulations. It must have been a very exciting and all-defining experience in your life.
Yes, it was a great day. Yes, it was a great day.
Look, thank you very much for joining us on Life Matters this morning, and we greatly appreciate it. Enjoy the celebrations this year.
Yes, thank you very much.
Gerda Steinsdóttir, one of the main organisers of Iceland's Day Off for Women Across the Nation, 40 years ago this year, and she underplays the impact of that day. It was extraordinary. They had a female president for many years, just shortly after the Gender Equality Council formed, the Gender Equality Act was passed. Then there's no denying Iceland's number one ranking for the last 6 years on the World Economic Forum's Gender Gap Index. So I reckon they're doing pretty well. Wouldn't you agree?